I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Word is out, they're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler, won't say it twice cause we're already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish. Nope, that's not right. Broadcasting from the south side of St. Louis, this is Real Spoilers, episode 674, Hawkeye, the series. Hi. Yeah, not who does the normal intro, and I gotta tell you, it's not easy. So, the Real Spoilers has gotten hit with the Rona. It finally happened. Kevin is out this week. He is fine. He's got some stuff going on in his family. So we decided to go ahead, and with my stuff still going on at work, we decided to go ahead and release this episode, that was going to be a Patreon exclusive to you guys on the main feed. We put up a little poll a little while ago, right before Hawkeye ended, and you guys seemed pretty cool and you seemed like you wanted us to review it. So I somehow, sweet talked my wife into, watching the entire series, which never happens. And then we recorded the episode. So that's what this is going to be. So thank you guys for your input, and hopefully you enjoy this one. We'll get the good stuff out of the way. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to Real Spoilers on whatever podcatcher you've got. I know that now on Spotify, you can now rate and review. So let's go ahead and do that. That'd be great. More eyeballs on the product, if you will, is always good. Don't forget about the Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. Where for $5 a month, you get a bunch of extra bonus stuff. The Scream retrospective that I have begun, the first episode should be up by now, with Ryan L. Terry from the Forza Crowd podcast. Episode 2 hopefully should be out this week. And then if I can somehow get things rolling, episodes 3 and 4 you should have by the end of the month, just in time for the new movie, which I think comes out next week. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. At Real Spoilers. You can also join the League of Show Sharers. You know all that stuff. I don't have the sharers this week. Give me a break. It's been a week. But you know who you are, and we love you for it. We love you a lot. You guys are great. I guess the last thing is, don't forget to follow the host of this show. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21. Don't forget Roger Kubert is Tom, and Kevin R. Brackett all on Twitter. I think that's it, right? No, I'm just doing a checklist in my brain, making sure I didn't screw this up too bad. I'm sure that I will, and I did. But that's it. All right, moving forward, here is my wife and I talking about Hawkeye. Thanks, guys. All right, so give me a little test.
Funko Pop.
All right.
Funko Pop.
Both of those work. All right, great. So I kind of put out some feelers to see if people would be interested in this episode. And there was a pretty good response. So what I've somehow talked my wife into doing kind of like a quick Not quick, but like...
None of your podcasts are quick.
That's true. I mean, the real spoilers ones are...
Ish.
Yeah. The ones that I recorded from the house sometimes aren't.
No,
they are not. Yeah. If you listen to this and you know that I have guest spotted on other shows like Binge Movies, I think I did a 3.5 hour podcast on John Carpenter.
Like, sometimes when I'm trying to sleep.
And our house, we don't have a small house, but we don't have a big house.
And you have a big voice.
That's probably true. That's a fair statement. So introduce yourself. What's your name?
My name is Leanne Kathleen Johnson.
Well, don't give them everything. Like that's the, we don't need people finding all of our stuff on the interwebs. How long have you been married?
Almost 12 years.
We've been together for
almost 15 years. Okay.
So you are very aware of superheroes and all that stuff.
Aware, as invested as you know. Aware. Probably more than most people.
That's fair. That's fair.
Simply because of my association with you.
What was the last MCU flick that you saw in theaters? We did Infinity War, right? Or did I do that by myself?
I think we definitely saw Endgame together in the theater.
And that was it. That was the last one.
Probably.
Okay. So you know who these characters are.
Yeah.
Right.
I care about them.
I don't think that's true at all.
I'm invested.
That's also not true. So I knew that if I could get you to watch the first episode of Hawkeye, which is what we're talking about. The Hawkeye series wrapped up last week. So I was like, if I can get her to watch that first one.
He asks me to watch a lot of things, you know, and I watch almost nothing.
I'm sitting next to you. You don't have to say he. You could just say
I'm talking to the audience.
That's
hey,
true.
Guys. He tries to get me to watch a lot of things, and I watch almost none of it because I am tired.
Because I try to include you. I want to include you.
I appreciate that.
Do you?
I like the thought.
That's more appropriate. So knowing Hawkeye was coming out, I tried to sneak it in there.
He did.
Yeah. And she watched the first episode. And
he just turned it on when I was in the room.
Oh, that's... Yeah, because I got to be sneaky.
And then it was happening, and I got washed away.
That's how we had our first kid.
I had... What? It was just happening, and then I got washed away?
See?
That doesn't sound right.
Oh, all right. So I knew, with knowing Hawkeye was coming out, knowing that I was going to watch it anyway... I just kind of threw
trying to feel more connected to his wife.
Yes, right. I just threw it to see what would happen, and what happened?
I became very invested and had to watch every episode and reminded him when it was on when he forgot and said we had to watch it right now, and got mad when he watched wrestling instead.
Which, honestly, is also the story of our life.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess give the folks your take. What did you think? What did you think of the show in general, like overall?
This is what I was nervous about. I don't know. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
I got invested in the characters.
Who was your favorite character?
I liked the guy that she killed, that Maya killed at the end.
Okay. Oh, okay. Not which guy did you find attractive?
I wanted to bone him. Is that okay?
Yeah.
He's cute. I like those throat tattoos.
I don't have, I'm not, I'm never getting a throat tattoo.
He has
tattoo.
A lot of tattoos, but no throat tattoos.
No, I'm not getting a throat tattoo. Okay, so you liked the Maya's like second in command.
What was his name? Come on.
I don't know.
What?
I don't remember that. He's a minor character. I don't remember what his name is.
I liked him.
Okay.
I liked Maya. I liked how at the end they had her hair down and had her look really different. And
I should say, just real quick, spoilers.
Spoilers. But wasn't that kind of the whole point of this thing?
It is kind of the whole point of this thing, but I like to give them the heads up. We're going to spoil Hawkeye the entire show.
I liked Maya as a character.
And what did I tell you about Maya? Do you remember?
Yes, she's going to be the new Ronin.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I also have her first appearance.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I do. Ask me what you're going to say.
Are you ever going to sell it?
Absolutely not. Okay, so you like the Maya and her like lieutenant?
Yeah, I'm upset we can't remember his name because he's my boyfriend.
Okay.
And, I mean, of course I liked Hawkeye.
The Clint Barton Hawkeye or Kate Bishop?
Well, Clint Barton.
Okay.
I liked Kate Bishop, but to me she's not Hawkeye yet. So fair. That's Hawkeye. And she's the bumbling child who's trying to figure it out. But she was adorable.
Haley Steinfeld, who you might recognize from Pitch Perfect. She's the voice of Spider-Gwen.
Like the audience, because I don't know who anyone is.
She's Gwen Stacy from Into the Spider-Verse.
I know who that is.
Yes.
In general.
Yeah, she was in. She's a very talented actress. And then, so you've got, we've got Jeremy Renner is coming back as Hawkeye. We've got Linda Cardellini coming back as...
Really, I had two boyfriends in this.
Who was the other one? Oh, Clint Barton?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fair.
It's kind of like you had your nice but broken, and then your totally broken boyfriends. That's how I like my men. Did that get awkward for you?
No. I mean, we both know it's true. Like,
there was, yes. How much do your fans know?
Not enough. Not that much. So this is it's crazy to think that Marvel.
I know something you liked about the show.
What?
Was his wife.
I did like his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Linda Cardellini, how you doing? Yeah. So this Marvel, you know, we all know that Marvel has been putting out these shows and the haven't really been in continuity. I guess they kind of have. Loki was in, but you didn't watch Loki, right?
No, I watched the last one.
Okay.
And I feel like it told me all I needed to know.
This is what I'm talking about, is I have to sneak in these episodes.
I understood a lot by the end of that episode.
Excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. So this show picks up 1 year after Endgame. So life for Clint Barton, you know, we've got no Captain America's gone. Tony Stark is dead.
I'm not over that.
Which part?
Tony Stark being dead. I'm not over it.
Elaborate.
It makes me feel upset.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Interesting. I'm
surprised you're surprised.
Well, here's the crazy part, right? Is we started dating in 2007.
Yes.
Right? So the MCU spans our entire relationship. Iron Man came out in 2008.
I believe it. I feel like this has been our entire relationship has been the hype for the next movie and the next show.
Gotta watch this new trailer.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So that makes sense though. Like is Iron Man like the character that you're invested in the most, you would say? You've got Chris Hemsworth as Thor.
Don't care about him.
Evans as Captain America.
Don't care about him.
Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
Could care less.
Oh.
I'm not invested.
You could care less or you couldn't care less?
I don't understand the difference between those phrases. To me, they mean the same thing. I struggle. Sometimes when I'm driving, I think about that, actually. And I think, which one means what? I don't know.
Well, if you could care less.
Let's not do it. Let's get back to the characters.
Okay, got it. Scarlett Johansson.
I like her. She's dead, too.
She is dead, too. I guess Yelena.
I like her.
You like Yelena? Florence Pugh's White Widow, depending on what they do with
her. Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing how that develops, I guess, because you're going to make me watch it.
Maybe.
I'll watch it. I liked her.
Fair enough. Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange.
So I like him as an actor.
Uh-huh.
I'm not particularly invested in him in that particular character.
We did watch a lot of Sherlock.
I love him as Sherlock.
Yeah, it was pretty great. I agree with that. Remember that Hound of the Baskervilles episode? We were both
it was the crap out of me. I was going to have to just give up.
It was a creepy episode, that's for sure.
Thought I wasn't going to make it through.
Nick Fury as... Sam Jackson as Nick Fury.
Not invested.
Brie Larson as Captain Marvel.
Not invested at all.
I don't think you saw her movie. Did you?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Who else have we got? We've got the Guardians of the Galaxy. So Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Okay. Zoe Saldana.
I like her.
Gamora.
But again, she's a little bit broken.
Dave Bautista. Well, she's dead.
What? I like all the dead characters.
Thanos kills her in Infinity War.
Okay.
And the Gamora that we get in an Endgame is a different Gamora.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Bautista as Drax.
I enjoyed his character. It's hilarious.
He's very funny. Vin Diesel as Groot.
I mean,
trust me, that's the extent of Vin Diesel's acting ability.
Okay.
So getting that. Bradley Cooper as Rocket. He's one of my favorites.
I mean, he's adorable and hilarious, but am I invested in him the way I am in who we're talking about?
Yeah.
Remind me.
Tony Stark.
Yeah. Tony Stark. Am I invested in the... No, I'm not invested in him I'm invested in Tony Stark.
Chadwick Boseman, RIP, as the Black Panther.
Liked him.
Yeah, he was really good. Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier.
I mean...
That's fair. They haven't really let him do a whole lot. Either way, Tony Stark is the one that
Okay. I'm the most connected with him. He's very, I just feel like he's been really built up. You really understand him. There's a lot of depth to him. His character is dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I guess I am invested in him the most.
Okay.
And it sucked that he died.
Did you cry? I don't remember.
I don't think I cried.
Okay. Interesting.
So I know, you forgot Ant-Man.
Oh, well, Paul Rudd is kind of the man.
He's my boyfriend.
Yeah, I know.
I have a lot of boyfriends.
You sounded like,
I am prolific.
You sounded like Schmidt.
That's just because you just watched
that. That's true. That's true. Okay, so we're 1 year post Endgame, so our heroes are kind of split. There's the Avengers exist, but there's no massive threat that is facing them right now. And we're reintroduced to Clint Barton, who's in New York. And I will say, there is something that is kind of awesome. I really enjoy, like, Christmas in New York.
He thinks, because he's never,
I know,
been
that's
there.
Probably true. It's probably cold as
and he hates the cold.
Also correct. Yeah, I don't like the cold.
For some reason, it's attached
there's
to some sort of nostalgia.
There's
for
something
you,
there that, like, Christmas in New York is like, I think that would be really cool. Maybe, like, to fly over it. It would be like, oh, there it was.
I've added it to the list of things in my brain we'll have to do someday.
Okay. Look, yeah, that's pretty cool.
When our kids are grown.
Oh, we got a ways.
I'm not dragging them around cold New York. I'll drag you around.
That's true. You might have to at that point, depending on when we get it done. And we see Clint with his kids, and they're going to see the Avengers musical, which I think is hilarious.
And I missed that part, because this is when he was sucking me in. He turned it on, and I was just living my life, didn't know that I was about to get pulled into this whole series.
Yeah, so it's a musical kind of based around the events of New York, so the Avengers in 2012.
Which I think I went to the bathroom during that part of the movie, because it's not very familiar.
Do you think you went to the bathroom?
I mean, not really, but I don't remember it very well.
Like the quintessential scene of that movie.
I must have had to go.
Had we just gotten married?
I don't know. What year was it?
Oh, no. 2012. So Bella was a year old. Oh. It was a rough patch.
We call those the dark years.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. He's rewatching this entire thing. He makes kind of a joke that there's an Ant-Man like in the musical, and he's like, he wasn't even there. Like, it was kind of a cute little joke. Goes out, see, you can't tell if he's having PTSD or what's going on, but he's just having a hard time, right? Like, he's having a hard time kind of adjusting to.
I wasn't watching the show yet, so okay. I can't participate.
So he kind of goes outside and he's like taking a knee outside the theater. And I take it back. I think it's called Rogers, the musical. So it's kind of based on Captain America. And his kids come out, and it's just I thought it was a really touching moment where all of these characters, whether it's Thor or the Hulk or Captain, the original Avengers,
we didn't talk about the Hulk. He could be my boyfriend too.
Well, which, Ed Norton or Mark Ruffalo?
Either. Oh.
Because they're both the Hulk.
Either.
Yeah. Interesting. Columbo.
Yeah.
None of them really have a family, right? So Clint Barton is kind of the one that we know from Age of Ultron has this family, and they're living off the grid, which we'll get into. So he just, I think he's the most human.
Yeah.
Out of all of them. I think Steve Rogers is probably a close second.
I don't know. I think that maybe that's kind of part of why I relate to Iron Man, is because he's also human through his relationship with Pepper.
Yeah. And they definitely try to humanize him more when we get to Endgame, right? Because he's got the little girl and he's got Pepper and he has to make a choice.
Well, and he's always, and like the way he looks out for Spider-Man, like he's got paternal thing going for him that makes him more human, I think, than some of the other characters are all allowed to be.
I think that's fair. I think the only difference is like he's got the suit, right? Like where Hawkeye has nothing.
Yeah.
He's just a guy with the arrows.
But they both have hearts.
They do both have hearts. And I think Hawkeye's is, I'm hesitant to say a little bit bigger, because he kind of does take Kate under his wing initially when, you know, reluctantly, I guess. He doesn't really
He's a father. That's
right.
I mean, he's a father to Kate at times. He's fatherly towards Maya.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when in that scene when he's talking to her, which I guess we'll get to.
And Yelena.
And Yelena, too. Yeah. I mean, he's just a father throughout. And I think that is it's a pretty huge part of who he is as a person and a character.
Which is interesting because they don't really do anything in the MCU to flesh that out, right? Like anytime we see him, he's just the guy shooting the arrows, mm-hmm. except for that scene. He had a couple scenes in the scene in Age of Ultron where we meet his family for the first time. So Avengers 2, and then the scene in, I guess it is Endgame where we see his family dust,
mm-hmm.
you know, that mm-hmm. was kind of, that was a gut punch of a scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the phone call when Linda Cardellini calls him mm-hmm. for the first time. So they definitely tried to give him more to do. And obviously he gets 6 episodes here. So 6 hours of character development.
And I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this, so let's get that out of the way. This was probably one of the better, in my opinion. I liked Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I liked Loki. For whatever reason, this one just kind of hit different. And maybe it's the Christmas thing. Maybe it's the whole Christmas in New York. But like they brought in this fucking cat is...
You mean this precious addition to our family?
This fat cat.
Playful, joyful bundle of fur.
Snuck down in the basement. They bring in some characters into this and a reveal of a character that I think made this a little bit more enjoyable for me. So we'll just get out of the way. The introduction of the big guy of Wilson Fisk in episode 5 and episode 6.
Yeah, I mean, like the very last scene of 5. I mean, he's really only in 6.
Yeah. Yeah,
they only paid him to work for 1 episode. Yeah,
that's probably true. They paid him for a day.
Yeah.
Give or take.
For sure.
Wilson Fisk, who is the Kingpin. He was the Kingpin in the Netflix Daredevil show. If you're listening to this, you know that they have officially brought in Charlie Cox, who was Daredevil. He was in Spider-Man Far From Home as Peter's lawyer. So they're starting to integrate some of those other characters in.
So watching anything with Joe for me is always kind of like this twofold experience. One is
because
watching,
you didn't watch Daredevil.
Well, no, but I mean, right. Watching anything, watching things with Joe is interesting because he has all of this lore inside of him. And he's just like, oh, did you see that? Oh my gosh. I can't believe, I think this is going to happen. I think I know.
I also want you to recognize right now that when you yell at me for being loud down here.
It's easy to do. Anyway, he has all this lore. And so he is constantly like seeing things that make him suspect something else is going to happen. He gets super excited when certain people show up. And to me, it all means nothing. For me, it's all brand new. So, like, I'm watching everything as a total newbie. Everything is washing over me. Second time I've said that.
Yeah.
Brand new, new experience. And for him, it's like this puzzle piece. Like, it's a puzzle, and all these different pieces are coming together. I like that. And he is not sure what the end is going to look like, but each piece that goes in, he recognizes. And for me, it's all brand new. And so, it is kind of fun.
For you, it's like a maze. And for me, it's like a puzzle.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. It's kind of fun to watch things with you when it's new for you. It's only fun to watch things when it's new for you.
Sure.
Because you get really excited by things, and that's fun to see. It's not fun to watch things when he's already seen it or when he knows what's going to happen, because then he just stares at me and wants me to have a big reaction. And I feel like I can never, like, don't have the right reaction, or I'm not excited enough or sad enough. So if he's already watched it, I refuse to watch it, which is why he has to be really planful about trying to suck me into things, because once he started it, I'm out.
That's fair. That's a fair statement. Okay. So yeah, so episode 1, we're introduced to Clint and his kids and all of those folks. And then in episode, well, I guess we should.
And you're also introduced to her and her.
Yeah, Kate and her. We get a really fun scene. Vera Farmiga, who plays her mom. A really fun scene where what was she trying to do with that bell? Remember, she's like standing on top of the roof at college and she's trying to shoot.
No, I missed that part.
Okay. Well, she's trying to like. she's trying to make the bell ring. That's what it is. Yeah. So she's got an arrow and she zings it off and she hits the bell, and of course the bell crashes through this entire thing. It's a big ordeal.
Sounds funny.
It was pretty funny because it was an accident, of course, and they get caught. So Kate ends up coming home, and she goes to like this very fancy party, and we're Vera from, I guess Kate's background is this. We know that Kate was living in New York with her mom and dad at the time of the Battle of New York. So Kate's a little, 2012. Her house is kind of like the wall is blown off, and she can see off in the distance Hawkeye fighting the Chitauris, the aliens, from the top of a roof. And actually, if you watch that, this is kind of one of the Easter eggs. What Kate is seeing is an exact replica of a scene from the Avengers that we had seen earlier, right? So in the 2012 Avengers, we see it from one point of view. In this version, the 2021 show, we see it from a different point of view, but it's the same scene.
And her dad dies.
Yes, her dad dies. Kate comes home. We're introduced to Vera Farmiga, who plays...
Hawkeye becomes her, hero.
Yes.
As a very young child, she grows up wanting to emulate him. She becomes an archer.
Right. That's absolutely right. World-class archer, gymnast, fencing. She does all of this different stuff. Comes home, we meet her mom, and then we meet her mom's new boyfriend.
Who she didn't know about.
Correct. What did he find?
It's an alive bug.
Well.
Oh. The cat is chasing around a silverfish. Oh.
Well, Blue Note, you better get it, bud.
He's got some legs off of him. That is revolting.
This is the joys of recording in a basement.
The cat is winning.
Good job, Blue Note. I should say that the boyfriend is a villain in the Marvel Universe. He's the Swordsman, which we kind of get a taste of later in a couple episodes later when he is fencing with Kate as kind of like a, I don't know, what would you call that? Kate's trying to get
him. She's trying to out him as a bad guy. She's trying to show that he has more skill than he's let on in front of her mom.
Right. And she kind of can't do it.
But then he ends up being a good guy.
Which is the twist in the comics,
and
right?
And I like that he was a good guy. He was hilarious and sweet.
Right. He is kind of sinister. He is a little sinister in the beginning.
Well, and he still does bad stuff, probably.
Oh, we didn't see him do any bad stuff.
Oh. Was, so remember, everything about him that was all a setup?
Yeah. The whole thing was a setup. So we find out that Kate kind of is suspicious of this guy, and she sneaks down into this auction room, and they're auctioning off Avengers memorabilia. And
it's like an illegal.
Yes.
It's an illegal auction. They're right. Auctioning things that are on the black market that they shouldn't have.
Correct. So they come across the Ronin costume, and we know that Clint Barton wore that costume post Thanos snap.
Did you just snap when you said that?
No.
Oh.
Why would I do that?
I just think you did. Something happened.
Just move the microphone. Mm. And after his family was gone, he kind of says that he kind of just became a weapon. He just kind of went where they told him to go, and he was basically murdering mob bosses.
Like an assassin.
Yeah, it's exactly what he was. So we find out that the tracksuit bros are trying to, I guess, get the costume. Oh, no,
they're trying to get the watch.
Well, there's the watch, and then Maya, I guess, knows that the costume is there. So she is, I guess she's, we should say that Maya.
No, they're coming for the watch.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, they're coming for the watch, and then the Ronin suit is sold first.
That's right.
And then it gets knocked to the side, and then Kate takes it just to hide, just so that nobody recognizes her because she's trying to get away.
She takes the Ronin suit.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's right. They actually come for the watch.
That's right. And the watch, it's interesting. Like, the watch is this thing, but it doesn't become a thing until the very end.
I forgot about it because
I think
because,
that's on purpose.
Yeah, it was. You remembered it because you pay attention to those details. Sure. I forgot about it. You're wait, what about the watch? And then in the last 5 seconds, they resolve the watch.
Figure out the watch. But the watch is kind of the catalyst. We know that when Clint figures out that the Ronin costume, Clint sees Kate ends up wearing the Ronin costume.
She gets in trouble with the tracksuits.
Correct. The tracksuit bros, which are from the David Aja, Matt Fraction, Hawkeye series.
I enjoyed them.
They are very funny. They're very funny in the comics too. Like, they're just absolutely ridiculous.
She gives some great relationship advice to one of them.
That comes back later, mm-hmm, which is a nice little payoff. Funny. That's a nice little payoff. Clint sees that the Ronin is back. And of course, now he has a whole different pile of situations that he has to contend with.
Well, because the tracksuits, I think, are also on the news at the same time.
I think it's just the Maya thing. I think he just sees Ronin.
Just the outfit?
Yeah. Which, I mean, sets it all off.
He decides he has to get it back.
Right. So, unfortunately, his kids are with him, so he has to, like, leave his kids in the hotel. Goes out and does the Hawkeye thing.
His kids are not super young. Don't worry. It's not a...
No, that one is super young.
Yeah, but there's, like, a 17-year-old brother. I'm just saying it's okay to leave them alone.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, it's not like they're leaving Kevin McAllister.
That's not the same.
It's not the same.
Come on!
I don't know how that's going to sound when that's edited together. So he ends up tracking Kate down. There's a pretty good fight scene here. And he doesn't really give her the information as much as, like, that's... He doesn't say that that's my suit, but he's
no, like... No, she doesn't figure... He doesn't tell her that for until, like, a
four
different
or five,
episode. Yeah.
Like, the one towards the end. So now he realizes that because... We should say that now that the Ronin has been put onto TV, that kind of sets off this other group of people. Maya, who in the comic books is a Daredevil character, which all of this kind of ties into Daredevil a little bit. She is a deaf superhero who... That was an old comic from a long time ago, but I think she's tied to the Kingpin somehow. Like, I think the tie that we see in this show by, like, episode 6 is exactly how they were tied together. But we know that Ronin killed Maya's dad. So yeah. Maya has been on the hunt for Ronin ever since. And it's kind of put a wedge between her and the lieutenant and hurt the business, I guess. Like, they kind of hint that because of her obsession with Ronin, like, it's kind of
hurt
the business.
Yeah, she, like, gets off track and she's too impassioned when she needs to be more focused and business-minded.
Right. And that's kind of... That's the story for the most part, is Maya after the Ronin, but she's actually after Kate, not realizing that who she should be after is Clint Barton.
And Clint just trying to extricate Kate.
Good word. Excellent word. I'm married a smart lady. yes, trying to get Kate out of there, but it's just like Kate refuses to A, listen, and to allow herself to be extricated. She's kind of always putting
she pretty quickly starts calling herself, saying that they're partners.
Yeah, which Hawkeye, Clint wants nothing to do with. Because what happened to his last partner...
She fell off a cliff at her... I guess she didn't fall.
She jumped.
Threw herself down.
Yeah, on Vermeer or whatever it's called. So while all this is going on, you've got this shadowy character kind of following them around. Now, you did not watch Black Widow, right? You did not watch the movie?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Okay. So...
She's not following them around. She just kind of like
pops in and out, right? But you don't see her. You don't see who she is until episode three or four.
Okay.
Right?
I don't feel like she's following them around. I feel like she shows up later. After they meet with Kate's mom and Kate's mom realizes that she's hanging out with Hawkeye.
Which is I love this scene.
Calls in a favor.
Right.
And you're not sure what that means.
That's right.
And then later you find out that she called Yelena in.
That's right.
And so you don't really see Yelena until then.
You don't see her, like, off in the distance, like, keeping an eye on them?
No, you're just making stuff up.
Okay. Maybe. I really like that scene where Clint comes to dinner with Kate and her, you know, Clint meets her parents, her mom. Yeah.
Did you watch a different show?
No, there's a whole scene.
They didn't come to dinner. They were sneaking in to try to look stuff up on the computer.
Oh,
and then he
you're right.
Them
you're
with
right.
The sword,
you're right.
And then they put him
down
at the table.
I'm thinking of them, like, sitting at the table. That's what I was
thinking.
Yeah,
but
you're
no,
right,
they
you're
got
right.
put down at the table because they were in trouble.
That's right. They were in
Clint
trouble.
Clint got in trouble.
Clint got in trouble. But I really did like this scene where they're at the elevator.
Yeah.
And it's very intense where she not so subtly threatens Clint
to get away from
to
her
get
daughter.
Away. Correct, correct. And Clint's like, okie dokie. You know, so you've got that going on.
She invokes Black Widow, so it's, you know.
Yes, correct. So you've got that going on, and then you've got him trying to get home, right? He knows that things are going to get bad in New York, so he sends his kids home. But he's still trying to be a dad. He's still trying to...
He promised them he'd be home by Christmas Day.
Correct.
So the whole thing has like a timetable that he's trying to get done by.
And it's not looking good.
It's not happening.
It's not looking good at all. What?
Well, we haven't told them that he's going deaf.
Oh, that's true. You're right. We didn't bring that up, which I think is another interesting wrench in the Hawkeye world, because he is a human, and all of this trauma, you know, explosions and getting hit in the head and all that stuff is starting to cause hearing loss for him. So, you know, at points he'll take his hearing aid so he doesn't have to hear anything. He can just exist and not have to worry about it.
But it also makes him vulnerable, because when it gets knocked out, then he's like, if it gets knocked out on accident, mm-hmm. then he's very vulnerable.
Yeah, big time. That's also a little thing from the comics, that Hawkeye was going deaf in the Mad Fraction David Aja series. So one of the funnier scenes in the series is when we figure out that the Ronin suit, which has gone missing a second time, is now in the possession of a LARPer.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
That was a good scene where Clint Barton has to go to like a LARPing convention and he has to like fight this guy to get the Ronin suit back. The scene that I liked is like the slow motion one where he is leaps and bounds more trained than these guys, and it's in slow motion and he's just like ducking very slowly and knocking guys out of the way left and right, and finally the guy who becomes kind of a side character as the show continues is like, look, if you just let me win.
He recognizes who he is. He knows
immediately,
that he's Hawkeye.
He knows immediately who he is. Yeah. He's like, if you just let me win,
I'll give you the suit.
And Hawkeye's like, all right, sure. And he's like, but you got to make it look good. And of course there's a whole thing, and Hawkeye gives himself up to this kid. I say kid, he's probably not a kid, an adult. So then we get the scene. We get Kate in her apartment, and there's an explosion, and
the tracksuit bros throw like a
Molotov cocktail, mm-hmm. right? But
because in their mind she's still Ronin,
correct? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do we get back to? So how do we get to the? What are they doing? Are they in? Oh, they're going for the watch.
Right.
Right. In Maya's apartment, right?
Well, they don't know where it is. She tracks the watch. And so they go. I think maybe his wife tracks it or something.
Well, that's the reveal right there. So I will say, in Age of Ultron, when we meet Linda Cardellini for the first time, Tony Stark says she's a SHIELD agent. And everybody's like, what are you talking? Like, look at it. Like, you know, whatever. So Tony Stark called that. In like 2014.
So she tracks it, and right. then they go, but they don't know whose apartment it is.
Correct.
And Kate is in there snooping around, and Clint is like out on a roof, kind of like providing cover.
Right.
And then he realizes where she is, and
it's the motion sensors.
Yeah, that she's in Maya's apartment, and then it's too late. Like, Maya's already fighting her in
You've got Maya fighting Kate in the apartment, and you've got
Yelena appears,
right?
But Clint, you don't know who she is yet,
which is a pretty cool, like, if you had seen Black Widow, I think that's a pretty cool reveal, because we know that at the end of Black Widow, at the post credit sequence, Julia Louis-Dreyfus shows up and gives Yelena a file. They're at Natasha's gravesite. And she gives her a file and says, this is the person responsible for killing Natasha. It's a different character altogether. Natasha. And gives her a file. And, of course, the picture in the file is Clint Barton. We're back on the rooftop. Clint is being attacked. She kind of rips the hood off, and it's revealed that Florence Pugh, which I got to tell you, is like a major coup for a Marvel TV show to get an actor the level of Florence Pugh at this point in her career to come onto this TV show and play. What was that? That had to be episode 3, right? Because episode 4, maybe it was episode 4, because she's prominent in 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
So we get that reveal. And then this is the scene where I think Kate kind of has her, Kate gets out of the apartment and gets over to the roof, and Kate kind of has Yelena dead to rights with an arrow. And
right.
They kind of have a similar moment that is told to us by Clint about the first time that Nat and Clint met, where Clint kind of said, I knew she wasn't bad. I knew she wanted out. So I didn't
killer and kind of brought her into the fold.
And this one, Kate has her in her...
In her sights.
In her sights, and Yelena just shakes her head no, and Kate lets her go.
Right. And I will say, I do like their...
Oh, yeah, they have great chemistry.
They have very good chemistry. Hailee Steinfeld and Florence Pugh have very good chemistry together. And this is... Clint realizes that this has gone on far enough. Like, this is too much. This is...
Kate needs out.
Kate needs out, and he does kind of like the... It's kind of tropey where the partner's like, you're too rookie, you're too green, you can't do this, you can't
kind
do
kind of tropey?
Yeah, I mean, it is very much a trope.
Oh, it is a trope.
Oh, yes, yes. you can't do this, you know, you gotta go, blah, blah. And he kind of breaks up the partnership. And then we go to episode 5, where Kate is kind of distraught, and she has another... Oh, she goes back to her apartment, her burned out apartment, and she has another interaction with Yelena, where they sit down. And I do kind of like that she keeps calling her Kate Bishop. Like, it's just one of those little things that I enjoyed. And we know that somebody hired her, but we don't know who it was. And
she's basically trying to pump Kate to find out where Clint is.
Right. And Kate won't give it up at all. We also know that...
But it also builds a lot, like, their relationship builds in that time. Like, you can tell Kate and Yelena, they like each other. They play off of each other. You can tell that they're drawn to each other. They're interested in each other in, like, a... I don't know, like a bestie way. Like
I think you're absolutely
right. The way they play off of each other is like, well, you could be my bestie. Let's be friends, but I want to kill your partner.
But it is interesting that the original Hawkeye and the original Black Widow are friends, were very good friends, and now we've got the new Hawkeye and the new Black Widow also kind of striking up that friendship, that relationship as well.
I'd watch a whole season just about them two.
I agree with you.
They're adorable.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Yelena kind of alludes that somebody close to Kate hired her, but doesn't tell her who.
I mean, she's clear that she was hired to do it. I don't remember if she's acted like it was somebody who was close
to her.
Maybe
Kate kind of plants the seed as to, like, who would have... Either way, like, there's...
Yeah, I think
there's...
more of that comes out in the next one, is when she... Because she doesn't know who hired her yet.
That's right.
She asks Yelena, like, you need to figure out who hired you. If you think Clint's bad, whoever hired you is bad, and you need to figure out who
that's
hired
right.
you, because
that's right.
the bad person.
That's absolutely right.
And so
right.
then Yelena looks into, like, who did hire me? She gets curious.
And she starts tracking it down
and she figures out who hired her, and then that's when she tells Kate, it's somebody close to you.
Right. And then is that the scene at the table where she's like, Kate gets the... Clint basically says, you're right, we're in this together. Like, fine. I acquiesce to you. Like, we can do this together.
Oh, good word.
Thank
good
you.
Word.
Thank you. And she gets the text at the dinner table and says, Kate Bishop, I found who'd hired me, and sends the picture of her mom. The person in this picture is the one who hired me. And she slides the phone over to Clint, and Clint's like, that's the guy I've been worried about. Like, that's the big guy. That's the guy I was worried that was be part of this thing. And like, we get a picture of the phone, and it's Kate's mom and Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, played by Vincent D'Onofrio, who played the Kingpin in the Daredevil TV show. We should say that Clint has the watch, and there's a scene between Jeremy Renner and Linda Cardellini where she starts speaking German, like, over the phone. And I think I remember looking at you and being like, aha, like, that makes total sense as to
exactly
what, yes.
And another example of watching things with Joe where he's like, ah, things are connecting in my mind.
Yes, exactly. Because in the comic books, Hawkeye is married to Bobby Morse, who was Agent 13 was Sharon Carter, who we see in Captain America, the blonde. You can't see this, listeners, but I'm getting a blank face on that one. But we know now Clint has the watch. The watch is back in his possession, which we know that it has information on it that is important. Super, super sensitive, but very important to the Barton family from what we have seen so far.
Ascertained.
Ooh, excellent word. So did we get the reveal of the back of the watch?
The last
thing. It's the very last thing that they say. Mm-hmm. But we do know that it's in the possession of Clint at this point. He's got the watch back.
Now we've led to the penultimate episode, episode 6.
Wait, you missed a whole thing. You missed where he fights with Maya and reveals to her.
Oh, you're right. Is that, that's 5?
I think so, yeah.
Where he puts on the Ronin suit. He kind of tells Maya to meet me here.
Yeah, because he wants, he knows Maya's not going to stop.
Right.
And so, right. And he knows that Kate can't handle Maya. And so he sets it so that he meets Maya.
And kind of puts her in her place.
And he basically reveals to her, look, I was hired to kill your dad.
Right.
I was hired to kill your dad by your boss.
By some, oh, does he says that your boss?
I think, yeah, I mean, I think.
Or he alludes
it,
to it.
Yeah, he makes it clear, yeah. Like, I was hired by your boss to kill your dad.
Right.
You need, we are being used, people use people like us as tools. They use our pain and our passion to meet their own ends, and that's what's happening to you, and that's what happened to me, and I regretted it, and I don't want you to regret it, and you need to know what you're really dealing with, is
right,
basically
right.
What he says to her in a very powerful scene, because his she's deaf, and his...
Oh, it's all through sign,
yeah,
right?
His, or she can lip read. Hearing aid has been knocked out, and so he is signing and mouthing to her, and you're watching her intake this pretty intense information for her, and then... it changes things for her.
Yeah, that's totally right.
Skipped over it.
Well, yeah, you're right. You know. and this is where Maya starts putting together who wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Who wasn't there the night her dad died. And she kind of realizes that it's the lieutenant, the number two guy, was not there, and kind of calls him out on that.
My throat tattoo boyfriend.
Yeah, right, right.
Who in this show is kind of built to be like they're very, very close to each other.
Do you think they're romantically involved?
I think it's kind of like, if I was, it's kind of like they are business partners. They work together, but like they have a lot of intensity between them, but they probably haven't been able to like act it out because
sure.
They're part of such a intense work relationship that it's not allowed, but like there's tension between them. They trust each other, they care about each other, they're invested in each other, they've been through a lot together. I think it becomes more obvious in the last episode that like they both have thought,
oh,
we
sure,
could be
sure,
together.
Sure.
They both have thought this could be something between us, but it hasn't been something that's been allowed by their lifestyle.
That's fair. That's fair.
So she kind of realizes
that's all, and we think she's gonna pack up and leave, but she's actually just getting. There's a really good scene between her and Wilson Fisk. Where they're all, I think they're sitting together, and Wilson Fisk is kind of like, I loved your dad, and, you know, you've been a part of my life since you were a child, and kind of gives her, but we do kind of know that Wilson Fisk is responsible for the death of her father.
And he knows that she's going a little rogue, and he's trying to rein her in, and now we know that she has information where she may go unhinged,
yeah,
but she has to hide that from him, so she, we're watching her try to hide it from him.
And he does say, she does say like, I hear you, like, can I take a couple vacation days and
she's
sort
already
this out.
Talked to the right hand man and kind of confronted him, and
yeah.
He's also in the room, so it's like he knows that she knows, but he also is trying to keep it from the big man. It's
right.
Like this very awkward scene where they're all trying to kind of like
play the other.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was gonna say front.
Oh, excuse me. So the last episode is, why are they trying to infiltrate this party?
They're trying to protect her. They're trying to protect the mom, because then
That's right. The mom pulls out.
Yeah.
Yeah, she tells Fisk
because
she's
realizes
out.
That her daughter is in too deep. She wants out. She doesn't want her daughter to get hurt. So she goes in and she's like, I'm done working with you.
And we do know that like the deal is that her dad, Kate's dad, was in pretty deep with Wilson Fisk, and Wilson Fisk has kind of been involved with Kate's mom, not romantically, but business-wise.
Using her.
Yeah.
To pay off this debt.
That she has paid off, like, tenfold.
But
because,
now he won't let her out.
Correct.
So she says, I've kept a dossier of everything, and you have to let me out or I'm going to ruin you.
Release this to the world.
And then,
which is just interesting, like... This is the problem that now they're running into, is you have 3 seasons of a Daredevil TV show where Wilson Fisk has this whole story, and they're kind of like, nope. Like, that thing doesn't, we know it's the same actor, we know it's the same character, we know we're bringing in Charlie Cox as Daredevil, like, we're bringing that into, but So that is kind of difficult, I think, for Marvel to have to contend with, where they're just like, no, we want to use that guy, but we don't want to reference anything that happened in those three seasons of a TV show. Yeah, so they go to this party. They're going to infiltrate this party. They're going to try to protect the mom as best they can.
Yeah, it's a party that it's like a, an event that she's kind of like a big part of,
like, and this so big Christmas soiree.
They know that Fisk is probably going to try to kill her at this party, and so they go to protect her and the other people at the party. And the other people at the party, because they know it potentially could get violent.
Yes,
and it does.
And it does. You get a so while all of their while they're trying to protect everyone, Yelena shows up. And it's like going to throw a wrench into the works and try to kill Clint in the process. You've got a really, again, more really good banter between Kate and Yelena, where they're fighting their way through this whole
party. And
like,
it's a hilarious fight because they don't want to actually hurt each other.
Right.
So they're just trying to keep the other from getting to Clint.
Right.
But they, like, Yelena doesn't want Kate to get there to tell him. And Yelena Kate doesn't want Yelena to get there to kill him.
Right.
And so they're basically like trying to stop each other without actually hurting each other.
As best they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it this where Kate kicks her in the stomach?
Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, that was good. That was a good one. And she's like, right. Yeah, well, back there when you did this, that was pretty cool.
Yes, that's absolutely right. So I think the big takeaway from this episode is Clint has to deal with the grief of Nat dying and him feeling like he allowed her to die. And Yelena kind of gives him the opportunity. There's a pretty good fight between those two. Yelena kind of gives him the opportunity to confess his sins, basically. Yeah. And he says, he's like, I didn't kill, like, she did this willingly. Like, I couldn't. I did like the line where he says, you know as well as I do, I wasn't going to stop her. Like, once she had her mindset, it wasn't going to...
He's like, you know her.
Right. She was already dead set on this, on doing this, and there's nothing I could do that would stop her. And I thought that was a really good scene, because it gives...
Well, she doesn't believe him, and then he does some sort of...
Oh, he does the call.
Yeah.
He does that. There's a whistle that Yelena and Nat have that is like the... The thing that allows her to believe that he's telling the truth.
Yeah, because obviously he was deeply close to her sister, if he would know that.
Right.
And if you're deeply close to the sister, it's unlikely that you killed her.
Right. And says, like, she talked about you all the time. Yeah. And, you know, so we should also say that Yelena got blipped. We don't really, you know, as these things go forward, we don't really know who got snapped and who didn't, but Yelena says, I lost 5 years of my life, so we know that Yelena got snapped away and brought back. So she lets Clint go. She decides that she's not happy about it. She's not happy that Clint was there when her sister died and she wasn't, but she lets Clint live. And we get a pretty good, Kate takes on Kingpin on her own and kind of gets smashed in the process. Doesn't really win the fight, but doesn't die. So
that was a scene that I thought was interesting, since I don't know anything about Kingpin at all. You know, he's always got his cronies with him who mm-hmm. are always doing all of his fighting for him. So I've never seen him fight.
He's a beast.
And then he was a beast, mm-hmm. which I wasn't really expecting. So that was interesting for me to watch him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just trash her and everything. And
I did. It's interesting because in the comics, the way they draw him, he's like a street level guy. So he's always kind of fighting Daredevil or Spider-Man, or these characters who are on the smaller side, right? Spider-Man's probably about 5'11". Daredevil is probably, you know, 6'1". And he's just like this Hulk of a Hulk of a thing. And Vincent D'Onofrio, who I think is an amazing actor, portrays that really well, where he is, and I'm sure it's all in the way they shot it too, right? Like, they're going to shoot it at a different level where Kate's going to look a lot smaller and things, you know, forest perspective and things like that. But he can fight, like, that's the thing, and he's not bulletproof. So, like, Kate shoots him with an arrow and he kind of just pulls it out of him. But the idea is that he's so thick. Does that make sense? Like, he's got so much muscle mass that the arrow is not going to go through. He usually does have some sort of bulletproof suit on because he's the Kingpin.
And her mom saves her.
How does she save her?
She drives the car into the
That's right. And then Fisk, we cut back. It's the old Michael Myers thing where Fisk is laying there at one point. They go back to look and he's gone. And then we get a confrontation later with Maya and Fisk.
Well, Kate first has her mom arrested.
Yes.
Because during all of the things her mom has done for Fisk have been revealed.
To Kate.
And all of the things that she, all the people she has, you know, betrayed, including her fiance, including other people that, you know, the betrayal was pretty brutal. And sure. So Kate has her, you know, turns her in.
And she doesn't fight it. Mm. Vera Farmiga doesn't really fight it.
She doesn't fight it, but she's pretty brutal to Kate about it.
Well, you know, don't be a criminal. I don't have that problem. Yeah, so then we get a confrontation between Maya and the Kingpin, where Kingpin kind of...
But you forgot Maya killed Throat Boyfriend.
She did kill Throat Boyfriend. Yes, that's... I gotta tell you, that we gotta come up with a different name for that
well,
guy.
Well, if you just remembered his name...
I don't
name,
have my phone... Oh, there it is.
It ended with an A. It was four letters. It had like a J or a Y or something.
A J or a Y.
In
Let's
the middle.
Go to... You know, it's not like we have mini computers.
Like Cujo, something like that.
I don't think it was Cujo. That is not what
well,
I think
Well, so he is, he's the one who's trying to kill the mom.
Yeah.
He's like the assassin trying to kill the mom. And then he gets all thrown off on that. And then Maya confronts him and she tries to convince him to run away with him, with her. Like, let's be together. We
what,
can do this.
What letters did you think was in that name?
Just tell me what it is.
Kazi.
Oh, yeah, Kazi, obviously.
K-A-Z-I.
Kazi, my boyfriend. So she tries to convince him, like, let's just walk away. Let's go away. We don't have to do this. He's like, you should have left. She's like, you can come with me. He's
right.
like, I can't. The job is me. I'm the job. I can't be. And the last thing he says is, I can't live in two worlds.
Yeah.
And then he, like, comes at her to try to kill her, and then she kills him.
Stab him?
No, like... She uses his arm to stab himself.
Oh, sure, like, sure, sure.
He uses
that's
it's
right,
his
that's
hand
right.
and his knife, but it's her, she like
turns it around.
It into
turns
his
it around on
it's
him.
Really sad.
Well,
and she looks stunning. They've got her hair down.
This is more of like what Echo, which is the character's name. Maya's superhero name is Echo. Looks like in the comics, so she's got what do you call that? Where it's like the top bun, but you've usually got like hair underneath it.
That's not how her hair was in this part.
But it is like the longer hair.
Long,
like her hair
flowing
is,
hair.
But what do you call that? What is that?
I don't know.
Oh, well, that's what she usually looks like. None of it matters. And so, yeah, so now there's the confrontation between Echo or Maya and the Kingpin. And Kingpin sees her immediately and is like, oh, like, you know, I'm so happy to see you. Like, we're going to be okay. And we get the reveal that Maya knows that Kingpin is the reason her dad is dead. And the camera kind of pans up, of course, very, you know, comic book movie fashion. We hear a gunshot, but we never see a body. So, and I feel like you don't hire Vincent D'Onofrio to come back if you're going to waste him in two episodes of a TV show. The theory is that he's going to play a bigger part, maybe in other stuff going forward in New York. He's a big, you know, the Kingpin is like the big deal in New York.
Is he the Kingpin?
Of New York.
Ah.
Yes. The crime world in New York.
That's what a kingpin usually is.
Yes, but he is a Spider-Man villain. He is a Daredevil villain. We know that Spider-Man has kind of gone... Well, are you going to watch that movie?
No.
Spider-Man has gone through an entire reset of his world, so there's a chance that he shows up in the Spider-Man stuff. Clint does actually get home.
You missed, so there's two things that we haven't talked about at all.
What?
One is the huge battle with the tracksuits.
Oh, in the tree.
In like the ice rink.
Yeah, that's a really good
which
one.
Which is epic.
Yeah.
And also, we haven't talked at all about all the trick arrows.
That's true. We didn't
so
talk
like
about
a
trick
thing
arrows.
Throughout all of this is that Hawkeye has trick arrows that do all sorts of craziness.
You've got one with like Stark Tech. You've got one with Pym particles. You've got all kinds of stuff.
And he like labels them, and there's a whole scene with a label maker. Yeah, and that's but right. he won't tell Kate what some of them are for. He just says too dangerous, and those aren't for her. But then in the end, he lets her use the
does
too it, dangerous.
Does she ask him? She's like too dangerous, and he says okay.
Yeah, and he lets her use it, and that's right, like right. a big girl You're who
right.
grew up.
You're absolutely right.
And they're really funny. Like, some of them are really funny, and some like of them are really crazy.
Electrical arrows.
So every time they shoot one, you never know quite what it's going to do.
You are absolutely right. I forgot about the scene in the ice rink where they are just doing the Hawkeye thing. The MVP, though, of that scene is when they shrink the truck, and then the owl comes out. And
we also forgot the LARPers are back again. The LARPers come.
Yeah, they do.
And
right.
help.
They're helping like,
evacuate the building in their LARPing gear.
Yeah,
and they also
nobody's
made
listening
the new
to them.
Suits.
Yeah, we do get a more comic accurate Hawkeye suit for both of them. We get if you have the I cannot recommend it. If you're going to listen to this and you haven't read the Hawkeye series, I highly recommend it because there's so much of this show in that comic. Like Clint's apartment is Kate's apartment. Like that's kind of a thing.
The dog.
Yeah, Pizza Dog or Lucky is what they call him in this, but Pizza Dog is in it. There's a lot that is a lot of this is the track suits. Everything is taken from that Hawkeye series. Mad Fraction, David Aja, go find it. Support your local comic store. Go do whatever. So he, you know, everything kind of goes down, and now Kate kind of has nowhere else to go, and Clint kind of adopts her as not just a partner, but like as a daughter, where he brings her to Christmas. Like Clint ends up making it home for Christmas. And this is where we get the reveal of the watch. Is he, you know, he gives the watch to Linda Cardellini. Linda Cardellini turns the watch over, and it's got the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo, which I had to explain to my wife what the
cool eagle.
What S.H.I.E.L.D. was. And then the...
I mean, I know what S.H.I.E.L.D. is.
But that was their logo.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And then the little... I think... I can't remember the number what was on it, but it's the number of Mockingbird. The question we have now is there was a Mockingbird was on a TV show, on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. So I don't know what that means. Like they're playing with the multiverse. Maybe there's more than one Mockingbird, but Linda Carlini was Mockingbird at one point, and that's how she met Clint. She was a field agent. They got married and had kids.
Three.
And of course three. And then it looks like she kind of retired. Yeah, that's kind of how this one ends. The post-credit sequence is nothing of note. It's an entire musical number.
Well, I read about it. Apparently, there was going to be one that they pulled.
What was it?
I can't remember.
Oh.
There was going to be one, and they pulled it out, and I cannot remember.
I try not to pay attention to anything like that, because then it just... Either way, the end sequence was an entire musical number from the Rogers musical. Skip it.
If you, oh yeah, it was rough.
It was not good. Not good. Yeah. So what was your overall? What did you think of it?
I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it. I looked forward to it every week.
Does that make you? Does it make you want to watch Black Widow?
Here's the thing. There's so much.
Yeah.
In that it's overwhelming to me.
That's fair.
So it's like if I can eat this bite and like it, that's great. I don't want to eat the whole banana split. It's going to make me sick.
I'm well aware. But what if it's a whole like jar of like pickles?
I don't understand.
Like Senf gherkin pickles.
Ooh. Can't eat too many Senf gherkins in one sitting. It's a special yellow German pickle.
It's a little inside baseball for our listeners.
Sure, because I really like that character. I mean, I like Black Widow. I'd like to see her with Yelena more because I really enjoyed Yelena.
You liked Scarlett Johansson with her, or you just like that character in general?
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, okay. Because
yeah.
Black Widow, I mean, it's pretty, I mean, we can watch it whenever you want. It's on Disney Plus.
Cool.
I did a review of it already, so don't worry.
Didn't I already talk about on this show how I don't like to watch things you've already watched? Because
yes.
Then you just stare at me the whole time waiting for me to have reactions.
That one, I will say, that one that doesn't happen as much on that one. Continue, sorry.
I would like to just move forward.
Fair enough. So we're going to do Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man you already saw? No! I want to move forward from where you... Because here's the thing. He tells me about everything he sees. So I don't need to see it because I already know what happened.
I stop and ask.
Right. And then I say, go ahead, tell me.
Okay.
Just cut to the chase. I don't have to go see this movie.
That's what I do.
Now I already know. I have a real spoiler in my house all the time.
Every week.
How was your movie? Tell me about it. Cool. Done.
So, okay, so here's the next question. Do you want to do this again for the Book of Boba Fett?
I don't know. We'll see how this one is received.
I know. It was. I guess that's true.
I had my I'm turning my microphone again, so maybe none of this will be usable.
It'll be usable. We'll figure it out. I have an editor. It's fine.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So that's it for this one. Do you want the people to find you online? You have no social media presence.
No,
besides.
Don't find me online. Please don't.
you know the deal. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. You can follow.
I like to call him Joey Butts sometimes.
I know it does happen. It gets called out in the house every once in a while, and I don't know what to do with it. Thank you for, if you're listening to this, thank you for donating to the Patreon. That's a huge help. Obviously, we pay for editing stuff. We pay for gear that we ends up getting broken because we've been doing this for so goddamn long.
Pay for
long.
Lots of movies.
Hopefully. So I do pay for lots of movies. And that's it. Thank you again for tuning in. Thank you to my wife for deciding to do this. Sorry, she was kind of nervous about not having anything to say, and I got her to talk for an hour. That's pretty good.
I am a talker.
You are a talker. That's true. All right, kids, we'll talk to you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.